Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
BashaniRadio.com is global. You can listen on any computer or mobile device that connects to the internet. Simply go to BashaniRadio.com and click on the show you would like to hear. Then sit back and enjoy yourself with powerful and positive talk radio. BashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything.
The fastest growing music app in the U.S. Why? Because we connect you to all of your favorite music and radio stations in one free app. And this fall, prepare to take control of how you listen to the radio.
Replay.
That song on your radio you just can't hear enough? Immediately replay and sing along again.
Save.
Save the music you love on the radio directly to your playlist.
Play.
Search for and play any song on demand.
Skip.
Unlimited skips.
Offline.
Take the music from your favorite stations offline. Introducing iHeartRadio Plus and iHeartRadio All Access. Your radio now on demand.
The new celebration rules are in place and Pepsi is all for it. Antonio, what have you got in mind? Bit of a throwback. Looks like the Charleston. You never see that in football or anywhere.
On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
Keep it locked. It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show.
Welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And this powerful show brings you conversations with today's stars and tomorrow's legends. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Come on.
It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And like always, I'm humbled that you allow me into your house and your homes. You know how you can reach out to me, right? You can reach out to me at BennyRandall.com or for our private community at BennyOnDemand.com. Like always, we have an extraordinary show, and this is like no other. We have Mr. Tracy Randall, founder, president, and CEO of Original Man Entertainment Group, a full-scale production and management entity that is most innovative music and film companies in the world. The company has substantial experience in representing both international and national recording artists, as well as an expertise in all aspects of sports, music, television, films, live events, and interactive media. In 1993, Randall, former Teaneck Island Black music recording artist, began working on the blueprints that would become OMEG. His vision was to infuse his love for music and knowledge of contractual and business practices into the company that he can best represent and nurture the wealth of talent that exists throughout the world. His dream was to partner with other experienced individuals that shared his passion and love entertainment without compromising their integrity. Today, his mission is accomplished as OMEG continues to expand its management arm, production roster, label imprint, Lavish Records, and most recent addition, the creative, their film and TV division. Tracy, thank you for being here.
Hey, thank you, Brother Randall.
And in interest of full disclosure, we are not related in any fashion or form, okay? I just want people to be that, be like, you know, Benny, you got your brother on the show. Stop that. No, we are not related in any fashion or form. He has his own story, and that's what we sticking with, all right?
I found that to be very funny. I was like, wait a minute, hold on.
I know it is. Tracy, let's start off like this. Like, you know, anybody that's listened to my shows over the last 20 years know I'm a little unorthodox in how I interview people because I like to bring the person out. So here's my first question to you, my friend. What has been your greatest lesson you have learned in doing your purpose?
The greatest lesson was to give less and give more in the same instance. Oftentimes, as a business person, we want to allow people to have more access to you, especially from a small business owner that grew, that we want people to have more access to us because of the mere fact that there are bigger companies out there where we may lose the business. But unfortunately, that tactic did not work for probably the first 4 to 5 years of my company because we were just too busy. And, you know, clients calling you at 2 or 3 in the morning, little minuscule things. So what I've learned through the course of time is you can be very attentive to the needs of the client, but you also have to put a cap on it. So, I don't know if that makes any sense, but
yeah, it makes perfect sense. At what age did you know what you wanted to do for the rest of your life?
You know, I still don't know what I want to do with the rest of my life. it's true. I just turned 45 on November 1st, and I think I was just blessed with so many different things to do with my life, and blessed and fortunate to be able to do them well. And when I say well, it's just that I was disciplined enough to continue the course and have a working knowledge of all of the disciplines that I entered. I would say 13, because my sole ambition at 13 was to leave home, like Charles Louisiana, and never come back.
Wow.
And I did at 16.
Wow.
And I never came back. I go home now, but that was the first thing in my mind. And to say, I never really wanted to be an attorney either. I finished undergrad at 19, so no one would hire me. So I went to law school and did the JD PhD program. So I still don't know what I want to do with my life, but it benefited me in such a way that I was academically prepared for any and every opportunity that was available to me. And still on the creative side, was still in the trenches with the current trends of music, the current trends of film and television. And I always knew what I liked and what I did not like. And I never compromised to try to deviate from what I liked more than what I disliked. And I think that's what's kept me. And again, I still don't know what I want to do, but I'm doing a lot of things.
All right. The reason why I asked that question, because if you guys don't know Tracy Randall, Dr. Tracy Randall, Tracy has about 18 jobs, okay? He's a doctor. He's a lawyer. I'm not sure if he drives for Uber. I'm just joking. But the point what I'm saying, I notice you have an affinity for music, and you're also a recording artist, and you deal on the business side for recording artists. Tell my listening audience how you started off as a recording artist, and then now making sure other recording artists are doing what they're supposed to do as far as contractual, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, see, I've never considered myself as a singer. I am a songwriter producer that don't happen to be able to sing.
Tracy, I know. Don't start lying up here on the Benny Randall Show, okay? I'm just telling you, because I seen the videos. It's on YouTube. Everybody, he's doing the video. He takes you through a whole video, ladies and gentlemen. He is dancing. He's got his whole people. In fact, Dr. Randall has did a Tyler Perry in the video because he's in the audience and he's singing and he looked like he playing the drums. So don't start lying on the Benny Randall Show. So let's back up, Dr. Randall.
No, it's in my mind. In my mind, my total objective when I started out as an artist, the objective was to be a songwriter producer. And Ronald Isley heard me sing. He was like, man, you have something different. You have something unique. And I was in LA, I was signed with him and Island Black Music. And we were working on my album. My first single came out. This is back in 1998. My first single came out. It was with Babyface. Babyface and I co-wrote basically the entire album.
Mm.
And then Polygram and Universal Records merged. But during that time, I had written a lot of hits with, you know, Deborah Cox, Shante Moore, Kelly Price, Faith Evans. I was like the go-to guy for hooks, you know. I was the go-to guy for melody. I was the go-to guy for anything with regards to the artistry of a song. And so when Universal and Polygram merged, the new regime came, and they didn't like me.
Mm.
You know, they were like, you just have this big voice, and the trend of music is changing, you know. And I was still young, so they was like, hey, we want you to be like Usher. And I flew in from L.A. to New York, and I stood on the desk of my VP of A&R, and I turned around, and I told him he could kiss my behind, and then the security came.
Tracy just getting in trouble all around. He just getting in trouble.
Yeah, that's another thing. My mouth is, and I'm working on that. I still have. And so security guards came and got me. At that time, that was like $140, you know, and 5'11", $140. They threw me out on 8th Avenue. But I was still in law school, completing law school, my PhD program. But I was stuck in a contract.
Uh-huh.
But what they didn't know is that I had a 2-album guarantee. And very uncommon.
Which means if they had to get rid of you, they would have to either pay you, buy you out, or let me
do another album.
Exactly.
Yeah. And each one of them had a guaranteed release. And I negotiated the deal myself. So when they didn't know that they had that kind of deal, and when they tried to get rid of me, they had to really get rid of me. And so, That was something beautiful. I finished law school. I had enough liquid capital to do all the things that I'm able to do today.
Mm-hmm.
I was blessed and fortunate. I didn't have to have any investors, the whole nine. So, and that's why I say, you know, I just know how to do a lot of things. Just have a working knowledge of them. Academics was there and available. I utilized those things, and voila.
So is that why your release of your Christian album was called Troubled Times?
Well, the first album was called Sinners Have Souls Too.
So when did Troubled Times come out?
Well, it came out in 2011.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sinners Have Souls Too came out in 2006. And that's when I was diagnosed with leukemia. And
mm-hmm.
I was given the 3 to 6 month lifespan to live.
So tell my audience a little bit about that, because that's my next question, because you are going and answer questions before I answer them, before I ask them. You know, this ain't working, Dr. Randall, okay? Yeah, we got the same last name, but you asking questions and you're answering the questions, and then you're going to the next question, and I haven't even asked the question yet. Can we just let this ride here?
You can call me Tracy. I really don't get into all that title stuff.
All right. I no problem.
That.
All right.
The respect, you know, but.
Yeah. Trey, you know why I wasn't using the word Tracy? Because my assistant is called Tracy Lopez. And I basically, so that's why I wasn't using that. You know what I mean? But go ahead. I'll call you Tracy just for the purpose of this interview. It's too much stuff going on here, brother.
Exactly. Well, you go ahead and ask the question, and I'll answer.
Ladies and gentlemen, didn't I tell you, Benny Randall Show, we get them and we bring them in here, and you never know what you're going to get. It's like a pot of gumbo. You never know what you're going to get, okay? Somebody, you know, when I was telling my staff about having you on the show, and, you know, they was doing some research, they was like, I think Tracy is more like the bad boy of gospel music, like Bobby Brown was to New Edition. And I say, why do you get that? Where do you get that from? They say, because, you know, I don't know. I'm just going through the stuff, and he just seems like what Bobby Brown was to New Edition, just out there. I'm going to do me.
Basically, you're right.
So, all right. So, we're gonna try to get through this interview, Tracy. We're gonna try to get through this interview. All right. So tell my people about this experience you went through with. I think it was a leukemia, and it was an extraordinary story. But usually, when people are told they have a certain amount of time left, the first thing they do is try to get their life in order. You look like you expanded your life when they told you. Like, I don't receive this. Tell my listeners your mindset. You know what I mean? Because when they told you, it seemed like you started doing more stuff. Okay?
Basically, yes. You know, I'm still in awe because from 2006 until this year, I've been battling. Mm-hmm. You know, the ongoing thing. I was told I had 3 to 6 months to live. February the 17th of 2007. I don't remember the date. It was very, very cold in New York. My oncologist called me and said, "Doc, I need to talk with you about a few things." I'm thinking, you know, hey, I'm going in there. And we beat this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he set me in the room. He said, "Doc, there's nothing more I can do or we could do. You have 3, maybe 6 months to live. You need to get your affairs in order." And he just put a box of Kleenex there and gave it to me.
Wow.
You know, are you okay? No, are you okay? He didn't say, "I'm sorry." No pat on the back, you know, nothing. So, again, it was very cold in New York. I walked out. All I had on was a jacket and a scarf around my neck and a hoodie. And I began to walk. I was on 14th Street, and I just started walking. And in my mind, you know, I was okay, well, physically, I think I could beat it, but mentally, no. Mentally, I thought I could beat it, but physically, my body was so worn down from the chemo. I'm, again, 5'11". I was down to 110 pounds.
Oh, wow. So you did start taking chemo, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the first go-around, yeah. The first time I was diagnosed, yeah.
Okay.
I did the chemo, and I was every day of like 110, 112 pounds of 5'11".
Yeah, that's.
I only took one or two pictures of me during that time period, because I didn't want to continuously remind myself of what I looked like on a daily basis. I would rarely look into the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
It was a horrible experience for me. But I started walking, and I got to 42nd Street and 7th Avenue. And I typically get on the 2 train or the A or the C, but I was you ready to get on the 2 train? And there was a voice that said, don't you get on that train.
Wow.
I was like, looking around like, wait a minute. Who is that talking to me? And I could hear it clear as day. I still hear it today. And I came back up from going underground. I came back up and I just started walking 8th Avenue. And I started going north. And I walked and I walked from 42nd Street to 86th Street. And it was right there near Central Park. But during the course of the time from 42nd, I couldn't feel any more cold. My body was warm. I could feel God's presence throughout that process. And then when I got to 86th Street, his voice said, walk as I walk and talk as I talk, and everything's going to be okay. It was that word that God told me. It wasn't anything miraculous. I didn't fall out. I didn't do anything like that. I said, yes, Lord. And I kept walking. And I got home to 113. And
up in Harlem.
My wife and my kids. Yeah, in Harlem. Yeah, in North Central Park. And my wife and kids were in the crib, and I didn't tell them anything. I just let it be, you know. And that's when I opted out of chemo. And just started doing a lot of other things. And I toured with Cenotaph Souls too. Independently, we sold about 200,000 records. We had a blast. And 2008, was when Troubled Times was supposed to come out. But during that time span, I had gotten really, really sick. I could barely function. I wouldn't allow anybody to see me, you know, the whole gambit. But I was still working. You saw the things that I was doing in the time period. But I was still working, still able to make a lot of things happen. And then 2011 came, and my partner was like, oh, man, you need to release Troubled Times. I'm like, man, that album is so old.
You know, somebody once told me, Tracy, is that nothing is old until everybody's heard it. I'm sorry, because you're talking to somebody who came from the music business also. So nothing is old until everybody's heard it. If they haven't heard it, it just came out yesterday. That's where we're going with it.
Well, I told him, I said, well, the only way I'm going to do this, we go back in and we'll keep 3 or 4 songs, and we go back in, I go get a vocal coach the whole nine, and we do, you know, a new record, and we did that. And we debuted on the top 40, Urban AC. That was like crazy to me. Because I was like, wait a minute, hold on. You know, like, what? But going back to the Bad Boy and Gospel Radio does not play me.
They don't play you because they don't play Bobby Brown. So let's just put that out there right there. They don't play Bobby Brown. Y'all look at the video. Y'all see what I'm talking about. Go to YouTube and put in Tracy Randall and see all the parts that he's playing in the video and everything. And tell me if he doesn't remind you of Bobby Brown in the new edition. And just the way he, you know, is one point in the video where he's in the chairs as the audience and he's bigging up Tracy on stage doing his thing. I was like, go on, Tyler Perry. So you know, that's the thing about doing stuff on video, Tracy. You can say what you want to say, but the video don't lie, bro. I'm just let you know that the video don't lie. Okay, so go to YouTube and put them in there.
I'm the class clown.
You gotta have that energy, man. Yeah, you gotta have that energy, and that's a good thing. So let us fast forward. You know, your whole entire life is very inspirational. I don't think people understand the magnitude of what you've been through. All right. I remember in an interview I read about you when my staff is like the research assassins. Okay. You was talking about your mother being a functional alcoholic, okay, and but she works three jobs and took care of all of you. That's powerful. Yeah. What did that experience do for you?
You know, and I miss my mother dearly. She passed away in 2001. There's something unique about a mother, but specifically a Black mother. Mm-hmm. There's 10 of us, and I'm number 8 out of the 10. And I'm the only one who finished high school and went on to college, but now everybody has degrees now. But prior to, that didn't exist.
So you were one of 10 children?
Yes.
Wow. That right there is a reality show by itself. I had a problem, and I only had like two brothers and a sister. You had 10 people running around their house called siblings. Man, I'm going to pray for you. Go ahead, bro.
And then they would always say I was adopted.
Boy, see, ladies and gentlemen, here's what you're experiencing. You're experiencing what people been talking about. The difference is it's audio, so you can't see him, but you can get the story. So now you're getting to see why his life is so interesting. Okay, so you know, TV show coming up soon, guarantee you. Let's go.
So with my mother, I'll give you another piece of information. I am a Randall because my mother was married to their father. I'm not really a Randall. I'm an affair baby. So.
So you telling me on the Benny Randall show, you are not really a Randall. Okay, this interview is over. This interview is over, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize. We thought he was a Randall. He is not a Randall, ladies and gentlemen. This is what I, breaking news, okay? Forget all that Trump stuff. Tracy Randall is really not a Randall. I'm just letting y'all know that right now. Go on ahead, sir. What is your name?
Well, it is Tracy Randall, but I'm not really a Randall.
I'm gonna edit this part and put it in a song. I'm Tracy Randall, and I'm really not Randall. Yeah, all right, go ahead, bro. Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize. I have no clue what happened to this interview. We started off good. I really apologize. Go ahead, imposter.
So you can only imagine being the 8th child of 10, the only one with a different father in that household.
Tracy, when we get out this interview, I'm gonna probably have to buy the rights to your story, okay? Because this can be like a series.
It's coming. It's coming. It's entitled Dr. Bastard, so it's coming.
I could see the title now. Nah, I'm really not a Randall. Let's go.
No, it's called Dr. Bastard. That's what it's called, Dr. Bastard.
Really? Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a... Boy, I tell
that
you.
That's a real title.
Wow. This is amazing right here. This is amazing. Go ahead, sir. I don't even know what to call you now. Tracy, maybe Randall. I don't know. Let's go.
So my mother was kind of like quasi buffer, father kind of like friend to me. Mm-hmm. So it was a different dichotomy than any of the other siblings. We're very close. Mm-hmm. We're very close. But their father was, I still call him Pop, was a little bit, I guess, kind of abusive to me. You know, yeah, I know, you know, right? He was kind of abusive to me because I guess I reminded him of the affair that my mother had, you know, on a daily basis. So
you can't remind him of anything because you didn't ask to come here, okay? So no, that's the other way around, man. You can't remind him, you know. He's reminded himself of what happened, you know. But think about it, you're the only one came out. You know, like Bobby Brown. So, I mean, this is a blessing. Yeah. Let's just make this happen. I'm sorry, Bobby Brown. This is just the closest we can get so people can understand this show right here.
I do what I want to do. It's my prerogative.
See there? Told y'all he had a voice. Told y'all he had. You remember in the beginning of this interview, ladies and gentlemen, he said, "I'm really not a singer. I just don't sing, and I really don't." And now he's up here. My prerogative. Yeah, all right, brothers.
No, but seriously, I don't look at myself as a vocalist. You know, I'm a producer, songwriter who so happens to sing. You know.
All right, you're just a producer, songwriter who just happens to turn on the mic and sing into it.
So when I mentioned that my purpose in my life was, I said, okay, look, when I'm of age, I'm going to get up out of this hellhole. That happened when I was 13, because one day he was taking my younger two siblings to go school shopping, and he left me home. He didn't take me. So I said, okay, we're playing those games now. Somebody got a job, and I started doing Young Scholars of America during the summertime, and they're paying me a stipend of $5,000 every summer. So imagine doing that for 4 years, and going on 4 years. And when I went to college undergrad, I had a full academic scholarship, so I left home, bought my own car, had everything that I needed. And I said, well, goodbye. I did a dude.
Okay. So let me ask you, in the interest of my listeners, in the interest of them, what are you first? Are you a musician? Are you an entertainer? Are you a lawyer? Or are you just Tracy, who may be a Randall?
Yeah, I'm just Tracy, who may be a Randall. No, I'm serious. I don't know what you would. I'm more of a nerd than anything. Just like with aiming, that gets on your nerve. That's my technology. We're going public next year.
We're not going to even talk. I don't think you want to talk about that live on the air, because I ain't going to even tell y'all our experience with that one. So we ain't going to even talk about it. I'll wait till we off the air, because y'all don't even want to hear what happened with that one. Okay? You know what I mean? You want to move on, Tracy? We don't want to do this live on the air, dude, because it's only really me, you, and a few million listeners. So you really want to go there?
So back to what I was saying is, I'm a nerd. I wanted to be an electrical engineer.
Oh, really?
That was what I really wanted to do. And the professor put an A on the board, which meant angstrom. And there was a formula from left to the right of the board. And tears started to stream from my eyes.
Why? Did something get in your eye?
No, I feel like a damn dummy. So I immediately, am I supposed to say that on air? So I don't know. I say things sometimes, but.
I'm going to just let you know, Tracy, we don't edit. So everything you say will be released. So just be clear. There will be no editing. Go ahead.
Listen, they've heard me say words. So, you know, it's a whole other story. Okay, so when they did that, I immediately dropped the course. And I went to my advisor and I said, you know, I need to go ahead and major in business.
You gonna get out early, huh? You just gonna leave this right here, huh?
Yeah, I'm gonna do this thing right, because you're not gonna have me flunking out of college. So I'm just a nerd. I'm just really, first of all, I'm a nerd, and then all the other components come together. But as far as the artistry, I guess I just love being in the studio. I just love sound. I just love the energy. I just love piecing together melodies and constructing songs and the emotions of the song. And, you know, like the album No Judgment, my most recent album, I piece that together almost every night at 2 and 3 in the morning. And I just let everything out on this last album. And so many people really got it because I did not pretend. I did not pretend about anything. I talked about my drug use. I talked about the alcoholism. I talked about, you know, just everything. The sex life and the cheating. And I just laid it all on the line. And they were saying, okay, this is the first time I heard a gospel or Christian album, which I'll get back to that later, that was so authentic, you know. And they were like, are you sure you want to do this? And the reviews were like phenomenal, because they had never heard anything like this. You know, CCM, all these other places that don't even interview, of course, independent artists and all these other things, you know, from Ebony to, they were like, wow, this album is crazy. And that just touched my heart because I was vulnerable throughout the process. And I think we need to begin to do more of that. Oftentimes there's a hallelujah and an amen and God, Jesus will fix it and all these other things, but there's too many cliches. There's too many cliches, but nothing clinging to it.
So let me ask you, from what I listened to you right now, and just in case you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, I know it's been a whirlwind and Tracy been kind of all over the place in this interview, but I just want to kind of bring you back. You are listening to the Benny Randall Show right here on BashaniRadio.com and iHeartRadio worldwide.
Yeah. It's not a game, it's a lifestyle. We global. BashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything.
We're taking over the radio.
The Jaguare Lifestyle Magazine releases issues bi-monthly committed to bringing you the very best content from experts around the globe.
With excellence as our standard, we know that you'll soon agree with our goal to become the number one online lifestyle magazine in the world within 24 months.
Our team has committed ourselves to making Jaguare Lifestyle Magazine a household name around the globe.
GLM is a tool created to add value to the lives of men and women globally.
And to reinforce the Jaguare lifestyle in which our brand represents,
ranging from family and relationships, faith and spirituality, success and personal development, business and finance, health, sports, entertainment and fashion, food and travel, education and technology.
To connect with either Jaguare Lifestyle Magazine or Jaguare Inc., visit their websites, JaguareLifestyle.com. That's G-I-G-A-R-E Lifestyle.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.
We got Tracy Randall. He is an extraordinary man. I mean, he's a funny dude. And just the full disclosure, he definitely not a Randall now, because he don't even know he's a Randall. Okay, so you ain't got to worry. No, we're not related in any fashion or form. So I just want to be clear. Okay, no, I'm just joking. You know, but Tracy, one thing I want people to get the gist of in this interview is, you know, you've been through a lot, man. And in that, you still have a good energy about you. You can see from this interview, like, you know, Tracy's like the kid that you'd be like, okay, we're going to study this history today. And Tracy is on a video game in the back doing breaking up the video game so he can rebuild it or something. Like, he has no clue that we are focused in history class right now. Just like you could tell from this interview. But see, that's that rambunctiousness, which is good, though, because it allows you to be who you are. Have you found this bounciness? Because I get a bounciness from you when I'm talking to you on the phone. Have you found this help you or hurt you in what you do?
It actually helped me.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, it did. Because when the cancer came back in 2015,
mm-hmm.
It came back with tumors, everything. I had this ringing in my ear. I was at the barbershop. I had this ringing in my ear, ringing in my ear, ringing in my ear. And I assumed because I fly a lot, I caught, you know, the flu or something. And they were cutting my hair, and then all of a sudden I wake up in the ambulance ER. When the doctors in the ER drew my blood and they did an emergency because they knew I've had cancer in the past, and my white blood cell count was 6. The lowest that it should be in any living body would be 200.
Now, anybody in your family ever had leukemia?
No, I would not know because of my father, so I wouldn't know. But
oh, okay.
You know, and then yeah. So from people that I do know, no, that did not exist.
Oh, okay. But what I'm getting from you when I listen to you, Tracy, it's like, you know, it's just like in my life. You know, when I was younger, I thought I was the black sheep, and I realized I was the diamond. In the family, and I get that sense that with what you've telling me thus far, you know, you're that diamond that has been brushed off, and all this time you was a diamond, and I think unconsciously you knew that. So with that in mind, what do you want your legacy to be?
You know, I have 3 wonderful children. My eldest, he is in graduate school at 20 years old. My daughter, she's 18 and a junior. It's Selman, he's at Princeton. And my youngest, which is 13, my mini-me, he has told me that he is never leaving home.
I love a kid that got his stuff straight already. I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going. It's too good here. Think about if we had a Tracy, think about this. If we as young people would have realized how good we had it when, you know, somebody was paying your bills, all you had to do was wake up and go to school, we wouldn't have been in a rush to become an adult, man. You know what I mean?
Those days, I can't wait till I'm 21.
There it is, right?
I was drinking way before I was 21, but yeah.
you know what I like about this interview, Tracy? You'll be talking, right? And then you expose some more, like in another voice, and then you come back. It's like two personalities going on here. Like, you'll be talking, and then you'll say what you're thinking in your head, and then you'll come right back to the subject like you didn't just say that, and like I'm just going to ignore it, okay?
Well, but go. I'll tell you this and why, because I have to curtail myself because you're so comfortable. I feel so comfortable with you. I feel like you're my homeboy, and we're sitting there talking, shooting, you know, and I might say something that I'm catching myself.
I don't ever want you to say that I didn't tell you. We ain't editing nothing. What you hear, ladies and gentlemen, it's how it went down. Okay, so now I want you calling me back, tell some of you, man, why you ain't editing, dude? We ain't editing nothing. Now that that's clear, we can continue. Let us go on, Tracy. That, you know, my staff had it right though. When they say you are the Bobby Brown of gospel music, they were so on point, man. When I tell you, out of 20 years of doing shows and radio shows, by far they got you on point, man. I got to give it to them. All right, so can we go back to the question? What would you like your legacy to be before you tell us about how much you was drinking and the Henny and all of that stuff? Because don't act like I didn't hear it. And I'm not going to act like I didn't hear it because you said it. Okay? All right, so go ahead. You're not drinking right now, are you?
Okay. No.
Okay, thank you.
Not yet. I don't drink anymore. I smoke some weed every now and then, but that's
Lordy, Lordy, hallelujah. That was not Benny saying that, okay? That was the other guy, Tracy. Go ahead, Tracy. Oh, wanna be a Randall. Go ahead.
So, all I really want is for my children to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. and just people who are Googling me are able to identify with Triumph. There's nothing special about me, but the approach of adversity is something that's a lot different for me. I don't feel as though anything's a death sentence for you.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I'm not afraid to transition. I don't know. I can't explain it. But
I'm right with you. You're not afraid of death, is what you just said.
No, and you
really shouldn't, because when you get to a certain spirit, that's when you know that a person has gotten more spiritual than they are religious. Okay, because
yeah,
you know,
I'm very spiritual.
Absolutely, because that's the type of person I'm. Am. You know, I meditate an hour every morning at 3 a.m. So, I'm a very, very spiritual person, and I've realized that there's something great when you start to know who you are inside. Okay, and when you understand who that person is inside. And here's my next question to you. Hopefully you're going to answer it, because you ain't really answered none of my questions. The show is almost over, ladies and gentlemen. And he'll start answer question, and then he'll go and talk about basketball, and then he'll come back to the question, you know, and he had never really completed the question. So, you know, you guys going to have to listen.
I'm going
to
answer this one fully.
Ooh. Ladies and gentlemen, prepare for an interview. I'm not sure what happened the other 30 minutes, but just prepare right now. Tracy, it says that you were a Grammy nominated songwriter, producer, record label owner, and artist. What was you Grammy nominated for?
For Shaggy, Deborah Fox, and Kelly Price.
Oh, okay. And you were a songwriter on those songs? Our producer.
Oh yeah, all three of those albums. Yeah.
Oh, okay then. Cool. Now, with your album that you just put out, what is the goal? What do you want people to walk away with when they hear this? What do you want them to walk away with?
No Judgment came out March 19th, 2016, and we debuted at number 15 on iTunes. And number 32 on Urban R&B, mind you, again, no gospel. What I want people to take away from No Judgment, simple, No Judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a unique trait in God, that there is a certain type of forgiveness that he's able to share, and you're the only person that can feel it and can understand that forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
But the people are looking from the outside looking in, they see all the wrong that you've done. And they're categorizing you based upon the wrong. God has given you that forgiveness, and you feel it and you understand it. And so there's this whirlwind around you of negativity and gossip and all these other things. But God has already forgiven you and he healed you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're walking through all of the BS, and again, God has sheltered you, he's forgiven you, and he's doing all of those things, then there's the construct of religion that you spoke of. they're spewing out scriptures that's out of context. There's noise. But again, that connection with God, you've been forgiven. So with all that being said, No Judgment is about all of that whirlwind,
mm-hmm.
but the forgiveness of God and how Christians and other religious people have lost an opportunity to find a common ground and to grow God's kingdom.
Mm, very powerful. And speaking of that, what do you think is, just in your opinion and the energy we're living in right now, what do you think is missing? Why do you think there's such a hostility and energy of people dealing with each other? And I think what technology has done, Tracy, is you know, people call it social media, but I call it anti-social media because it's yeah. it's shown people how not to communicate with each other. You know what I mean? You can see, I don't know if you ever noticed people walking down the street and they'd be like a group of three or four and everybody on their phone. And it's like, why are y'all even walking together then? You're not even talking. Like, people have forgotten human contact. Do you think that's why we're getting in such an insensitive time like we are now, where, you know, especially with the resident, because I don't call him the president, the resident that's in the White House. It just seems like it's a very insensitive time. And people say, well, he started. No, I don't think he started. I think he highlighted it, what was already going on. What do you think? What do you get from the times we are in right now?
Well, the benefit for me is that I was born in the South and I'm a 70s baby. And I fought a lot of white boys, you know, to be honest with you, because of them trying to prove their superiority towards another young black man, a boy. In high school, there was a guy, his name was Chad Bowser. I went to a predominantly white college prep school. And he called me the N-word, and I hate that word. And none of my friends are allowed to use that around me the whole month.
I'm right with you on that one.
Yeah, and he spat at me. And, you know, back in the day, I don't know how old you are, but they used to have the metal tray in the cafeteria. When I say I beat him, yeah. So when I came back to school the next week, the metal trays were gone. They were now, you know, the plastic. But there has been an ongoing racial war throughout history, especially here in America. But it's happening worldwide, to be honest. Uh-huh. Even when I travel,
yeah, it seems like it's highlighted more than what is actually right, exactly, because it's always been there. It's just now, right now, it just seems like people don't care no more. It's like, this is what I feel about you, and I'm sticking to it, et cetera, et cetera. Where does somebody like Tracy fit in all of this?
Well, the benefit is I appreciate the honesty. So if anything happens, I know who is trying to harm me, so I can defend myself. That's what I can respect and appreciate, for number one.
Uh-huh.
Number two, social media has allowed cowards to have power. You know, social media has allowed them to put up fake pictures and to have power with the voice and their mouth and all these other things. Where Tracy Randall or the original Man Entertainment Group fits in is that we have an opportunity now. I have a foundation called the Lynx Foundation, and it's entitled Linking You from Segregation of Population.
Uh-huh.
And what the purpose is to give young men a scholarship to either finish a 2-year education or 4-year education. I'll pay for it. Where we fit in is showing our young men not to just be men, but to be responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't continue, you know, blaming others for our downfall. This has given us an opportunity to shield our families, and hopefully this will force us not to segregate, but to really support one another as far as the African-American community.
Mm-hmm.
Support one another in such an amazing and empowering way that we become self-sufficient but able to coexist, and coexist in a positive way. Because what has happened ultimately is that the construct of our family essentially has been destroyed, not just by slavery, but by us. And I'll tell you why.
Preach, brother. Preach, preach.
Anytime you have a young man who goes to jail, when he comes back from jail and they throw him a party, and so that's a great accomplishment. But the other young man who who wants to go to college can't get his three or four neighbors to send him at least $25 a week for food.
Wow, that's deep right there. That's real deep. And it's incredible, too. But it's facts.
You know? The other issue, the rites of passage. I know a kid who's 19 years old. He has six children, four of which are in the same month.
Mm-hmm.
But he's revered in his family. Oh, boy, he's a player. You know? Mm-hmm. But he will never be able to take care of those children. He will never, ever, unless he becomes a superstar, celebrity, basketball player, whatever you want to call it, he's going to have to deal with it. And then what he has caused is turmoil on social media because he still has these young girls, I'm not even calling them women, young girls
mm-hmm.
fighting on social media, bragging about he's staying at their house tonight, so y'all better get it right. And then the next day, he's at another young lady's house. You know, mm-hmm. but the father, the uncle, the other brothers in that dysfunction are excited that their little brother has all these babies and he's the man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And in the same token, our community is beating the hell out of a gay black man or a gay person, but they're living as people within the society who are not causing any problems, not causing any havoc. There's something wrong with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Tracy.
Inherently wrong. There's something inherently wrong with that. So we are going to have to get off our butts and make this happen. We have so many other things, you know, light skin, dark skin. Fights and you talk white and you ratchet and,
oh man, please, we ain't gonna even get into that now, you know, because boy we is a whole nother show. But we're gonna have Tracy come down to the TV studio because he been going off, and I apologize, ladies, that he decided to start doing the interview when we only got about 8 minutes left. You know, he just warmed up the first 40-50 minutes. That was a warm up, and now he decided to actually start the interview when we were like 8 minutes left. So I really apologize, but we're gonna have to have him back, you know what I mean? So before we get out of here, Tracy, I want to peep my favorite song from your collection is It Feels Good. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the song right here where he has all these split personalities. He's basically playing everybody in the video. Okay, that's what it appears to be, but it's a really good song. Let me give you a little listen to it right here.
All my pain away. He's a friend, a loving friend. He held me the things of other days. God's rainy day
feels good.
Makes me a
feels good.
Yeah.
It feels good.
It feels good.
It's so good.
That right there, ladies and gentlemen, that's from the guy who say he cannot sing, okay? But it feels good on this video, man. I love that song right there, and I love the imagery with it because it now, you know, I didn't, when I was looking at it, I was like, okay, this is a nice calm cat or whatever. Now that I've gotten to interview Tracy, it all makes sense because in the video with all these split personalities he's doing, he's the drummer, he's on the keyboards, he's singing, he's the person in the audience. Now it all makes sense because if you go back and listen to this interview, there was about three or four people that was at this interview with Tracy. Okay, I'm going to just be clear with that right now, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, this was just not Tracy. This was Tracy. This was also Tracy, I'm not really a Randall. This was also Dr. Tracy, and this was Tracy's friend who's just here for support. So I just want to let you know what really happened here. Before we get out of here, Tracy, this has been one of the most interesting interviews, and I don't even think you understand the magnitude. So when you go back and listen to it, I think you understand what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, because who are listening to this today on iHeartRadio and Bashani Radio, this is one of those that you just, you're going to be laughing all the way to the end, basically. All right. Tracy, tell me a little bit about It Feels Good. Where did that come from?
Oh, wow. I was riding down the street in Jackson, Mississippi, and it was a nice sunny day, and I was like, it feels good. It feels good. And so the melody just stayed with me. And I got in the studio, put together the production, my team, and that's how it happened. It was a nice sunny day. I wasn't worried about anything. Life is good.
Yeah, because I know you start the song off with "My bills are paid." I was like, if that ain't a country, if that is not a country line, it's like I wonder what was going on in Tracy's life when he said that. My bills are paid. I'm bowing jade. I was like, all right, some, you know. So I figured that was probably on a Friday because his bills was paid. So. Boy, I tell you, this is one of those interviews, ladies and gentlemen. This was worth waiting for. You hear me? You know, I've interviewed Tracy over the years. I've interviewed tons and tons of people. I even interviewed Barack Obama when he was a senator, you know, back in the days. And I got to say, this is the most. Yeah, don't be trying to date me. All right. Okay. So. But this happens to be one of the most interesting interviews ever. Okay, that's just how I'm gonna label it. Interesting interviews ever, you know what I mean? And it's the first time I actually interviewed somebody and only got one question answered, so that is
Oh, man, I guess you
got to
catch me a night or something.
Yeah, this is no. If this is how you is in the day, No, we only want to interview it in the night. If this is how it is right now, ladies and gentlemen, just for those don't know, we are at lunchtime noon on a Friday, okay? I'm just letting you be clear. It's about noon on a Friday. So I just want you to understand, which means it's light outside. It's cold outside here in New York City. But it's noon, so unless it was lunch or something that happened, I'm telling you, it's one of the most interesting interviews ever. All right, Tracy, we coming down to the last 3 minutes. It's been awesome, man, but we definitely going to have you back. We're going to have you on a TV show so we can actually film this too, because so you could see who we are actually talking to, ladies and gentlemen, all right? But for now, I want y'all to enjoy this masterpiece, because that's what it was. It was a masterpiece. You know what I mean? You know, so Bobby Brown, we appreciate you being here. I mean, Tracy, we appreciate you being here.
King of R&B, Bobby!
Oh, my goodness, man. Your final words. I don't know if you even have final words. Your final words. Tracy.
My final word is this. Whatever you do, be committed to it. I mean, you like
and you're breaking up, Tracy. You're breaking up. You're breaking up. You go back. You said your final words are, and then go.
My final word is, whatever you do, just be committed to it. Be committed to it. Don't allow others to deter you in any capacity or any way. And I work off of 90 days. I don't do a 5-year plan. And that's what dealing with the terminal cancer has done for me. Mm-hmm. I work on 90-day increments. I resolve, I solve, and I complete. And then I go to the next 90 days. And that's what I did.
Very, very powerful. So if I ask you, what was the most valuable lesson you have learned from your own life? Because here's what I believe, Tracy. I believe in every lesson, there's a blessing. And in every blessing, there's a lesson. The fact that you're still here, regardless of what someone else said, you are still here lets you know that there is a God, okay? Because you have beat the odds well beyond. Some people could have a cut on their foot and die tomorrow because it's a cut. You see what I'm saying? But that lets you know that you have a purpose here. There's some reason you are still here to serve. There's some reason why you are still progressing every day. There is some reason why God said, go interview this guy, even though he won't answer any questions. But I guess God wanted me to have it in my portfolio, so, okay. Boy, I tell you. Why are you still here? Why are you here?
Honestly, I don't know. And I hate to say this, but it's not that I don't care. The thing is love. Mm-hmm. Just love and smile and share your light. That's what it is. Just love and smile and share your light for as long as you're here. And that's what it is for me. Mm. And it brings people closer to want to get to know more about you. But in that, you're learning more about them. They're able to feed off of you, and you're growing, and you continue to grow. And it's not even about me. Honestly, it really isn't. I feel that I am just here in the elements of life, the energy, and this is why I laugh all the time. This is why I joke all the time. When I walk into a room, I'm just laughing and dancing and, you know, all these other things. And people know the struggle and the story and the pain and all those other things.
Mm-hmm.
And if I am able to push that aside, like, and feel good. I had 104 fever. I was on morphine during that entire video. But my camp was so in awe that you have no idea what that did for them. And so we're very close and very bonded. And so I really don't know the answer to the question, my man. I really don't know. I am just here. I'm having fun. I'm enjoying people. I'm enjoying life. I love smiling. I love just all of that. And hopefully, you know, when someone meets me, they feel the same way. I talk to strangers all the time, just anywhere. And before I go, this is one thing my mom told me. She said, I never worried about you because you never meet a stranger.
Mm. No, that
and
is
I,
very
I didn't
powerful.
Know what that meant until later on in life.
That's very powerful. If people want to know more about you, get in touch with you, want to know about your single and stuff, where could they locate you, my friend?
www.iamtracyrandall.com. www.iamtracyrandall.com. It's D-A-L-L, not D-E-L-D. Well, you know how you spell
it. Yes, I know how to spell my name. So, yeah, thank you for that clarification. I've only been spelling it all my life, but thank you for that clarification, Randall. You know, he's like R-A-N-D-E-L-L. Evidently, he didn't look at my name, right? Ladies and gentlemen.
No, I saw that. But I'm just saying, you know that there are other Randalls spelled the D-E-L-L and then the B-L-E.
They are not real Randalls, just like you.
Exactly. I believe that. You know, I'm not either, but I understand.
I think it's ironic that he, you know, after he just confessed on the show that he's not a real Randall, he says, go to iamtracyrandall.com. You know, I think that's kind of ironic, something like that. You know what I mean? So it is all good, man. This is just, Tracy, though, really, though, I appreciate you. Coming on the Benny Randall Show, where we believe it's your business to know. and you and artificial intelligence Amy and all these other people. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have to tell you that story a whole other day because it was really interesting. It was a whole nother. And that's before we even started the interview, okay? Before we even got him, okay? So I just want to be clear on that, ladies and gentlemen. Tracy, man, I tell you, this has been one of the most inspiring and funniest interviews I've ever had in my life. This is the first time in 20 years, to be honest, I've ever done an interview and the person only answered one question. But yet we did an hour, okay? So I just, you have made history, my friend, okay? You have made history. If you wanted to make history, you have done it. You have managed to go through an hour interview and not answer but one question. But that's still love, man. We appreciate your presence.
That's all we need.
Oh, man, Tracy, I appreciate you, brother. And like I said, ladies and gentlemen, he is not my relative. He is no kin to me. I just want you to be clear with that one, okay? Like always, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to The Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. You can learn more about me at BennyRandall.com or BennyOnDemand.com. And let us know your comments. Let us know your feedback. You know we appreciate this. You know, and if you didn't learn anything else from this interview, here's what I learned. Tracy Randall showed us how to be you. No matter where you are, no matter whom you're speaking to, how to just be you. And, you know, on this interview, what was extraordinary was that he was just being himself, man. And that's what made this interview so powerful. So if you can read between everything else, he was just being himself. And that's all we ask when you come on the show. Just be you, man. And it was an extraordinary interview. We still got to have him come back on our TV show just because we need to at least get him to answer two questions in an interview. But it was an incredible. And Tracy, man, like always, I'm humbled. And I thank you for coming on the Benny Randall Show, my friend.
Thank you, my brother, for such a great time, and I can go take your nap.
I've never heard a person say, I did an interview, I'm going to take a nap. Man, I tell you. It never stops. He just did an hour interview, ladies and gentlemen, answered one question, and what you going to do now? You know, most people say, I'm going to Disney World. He said, I'm going to take a nap. Boy.
This is too much work for me.
Just like we say in the South in Fort Lauderdale, that boy crazy. All right. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. I love you, and you can't do a damn thing about it. Good night.
Thank you for listening to another great episode of BashaniRadio.com. Make sure to like Bashani Radio on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to us on YouTube. All of our social media connections are located on BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything.